Welcome, everybody. Brother Goodwin here, Prophecy in the Spotlight. Let me read a passage for you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. Listen to this. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. You ought to understand the signs of the times. You ought to know when it looks like he's getting ready to come. You ought to know. That's what he's saying here. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I run unto you. For yourselves know that perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And in verse 4 it says, ye brethren are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. You and I are supposed to see the signs going on around us and realize, hey, time's almost up. We're getting out of here soon. Everything is about to change, and it is. Now let me read verse 3. For when they shall say peace and safety, and then there's a colon there, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. Look what's going on today with Trump's Board of Peace. We're going to discuss that in today's program. Trump has organized a Board of Peace. He's got people from all over the world joining this thing. They got to put up $1 billion, I think. Is it a billion or a million?
A billion.
I think it's $1 billion. And it's going to be headquartered, I think, in Gaza. And Donald Trump's the chairman of the board. You know anything about politics? Chairman has the power. He determines what comes up and what doesn't. And so this is getting very interesting. We're going to discuss that on today's show. We're going to discuss the Board of Peace. Stay tuned. Hey, welcome everybody. I'm your host, Brother Dan Goodwin. This is Dr. Charles Hiltzman, our co-host here. I have a little paragraph that I'm going to read to start off the program. And before I do that, be aware we are a viewer-supported show here, ministry, and we need your help to keep us on the air. We depend and rely on the gifts of God's people. Many of you send checks. Some of you have an automatic monthly withdrawal that comes out. We sure appreciate every one of you. We've been here, we're going on 6 years. June will be 6 years if we're still here in June. And we'll just have to see. So, Doc, let me start us off by just reading a brief little paragraph here. This is from Julia Frankel. I do not know who this is, but this was interesting. And it says, this is out of Jerusalem, the AP. It says, more than 20 countries have said they will join U.S. President Donald Trump's Board of Peace, while a few European nations have declined their invitation. Many have not yet responded to Trump's invites. Chaired by Trump, the board was originally envisioned as a small group of world leaders overseeing the Gaza ceasefire plan. But the Trump administration's ambitions have expanded, and you're going to give us more on that in a second, Doc, with Trump extending invitations to dozens of nations and hinting at the board's future role as a conflict mediator. And I take that to mean anywhere in the world conflict. Yeah. That appears to be to pose a challenge to the United States and its most powerful body, the 15-member Security Council. And I think I said to you earlier, it sure looks to me like the United Nations is going to be overshadowed.
It looks like they might be being kind of becoming an irrelevant factor.
Yeah. And I personally,
but once we pulled all this financial support out of it from America, our tax dollars,
I think it's being replaced. And I think Donald Trump's just, instead of trying to do it, he's doing it the other way. He's replacing.
It looks like ever since Second World War, then Israel back in, then we got the world, the Federation of Church, and then the UN out of all of that. It seems like everything is one step, and I think this is probably just another step in the direction of the Antichrist and the Antichrist kingdom.
Yep.
Just one step at a time.
Now, the date of this recording is February 6th. I want you to know that, because this is going to change daily here. Right now, we have a list of some countries that are not joining.
She can put the picture up there. We got that
list. Okay,
we
got a list. I don't know that they'll be able to see it, but they'll get an idea.
Get an idea.
Canada. In fact, Trump revoked the invitation to Canada. Countries that have not joined, at least yet, as of February 6th.
Yeah.
And that's the ones in the red, I think,
red.
Over there on your thing. But
I
got France, Germany, Greece, Italy, Norway.
Europe.
This is Europe.
Yep.
And
European Union.
The United Kingdom.
Oh, as a whole.
Ukraine.
Yeah.
Figure that out. Anyway.
Where'd they get that billion?
Yeah, well, they...
I guess they got it from us. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think it's in suitcases that people have lugged out there.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Well, it's crazy.
On that list, as of today, there's 26 nations that have joined it.
Okay.
Yeah. You can take that down now.
And I understand that Israel has now joined.
Israel's a part of it.
Okay, because they weren't.
I don't think they have any choice. I mean, it's right on their doorstep. They want to have, somehow or another, they think they can have a little say in this, hopefully. But,
well, that's what brings me to my scripture that I read at the open here. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them.
Yes. Yeah.
I think we're beginning to zoom in on this now. I think now we've gotten so close to the end that this, the understanding of this is right there in front of us now.
It's starting to come into view, maybe. And I want to caution both of us and others, you have to be careful in interpreting prophecy by just looking at current events.
Right, because this could change next week.
Because it could be in the curve of the road. But when you do see a pattern, and what we're seeing is a pattern here. As I said a while ago, in 1948, after World War II, Israel comes back in the situation. Along with that comes a council of the nations and eventually into the UN. And now we're seeing other prophecies being fulfilled. Now we're seeing this come into the... I think it's a part of the pattern leading us, and it's not a play on words either when they call it a board of peace, because that's going to be, at best I can tell, one of the main things that the White Horse Rider is all about when the Antichrist shows up after the rapture and the tribulation begins. I think peace is going to be one of those things.
Yeah. I think of this as well, Don. We know Russia's coming to the Golan Heights, the mountains of the north.
At some point in time.
That's right there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's right there. What happens to that organization, the peacekeepers of the world, when Russia shows up?
Yeah.
I mean, where does this fit in?
And...
Is that part of the sudden destruction cometh upon?
It might be. I don't know. What is the sudden destruction? I know that it comes upon them. We're talking about the world. And primarily in the world, we're talking about lost people. Because the next verse is very clear. As you read it, we are not in darkness. That's talking about the born again saved people. So the sudden destruction, what does it mean? It's going to fall upon them. Is it going to fall upon those that are involved in the peace initiative, whether it's this one or something else? It's obvious that the beginning of the tribulation is going to have something to do with a peace initiative. I think that's what the white horse symbolizes.
Yeah, he comes back on the white horse. He's just saved the world.
Yes. And I do know that from the study of the book of Daniel that the Antichrist is going to cause craft to prosper. And so it appears that economics goes along with this. And so you're saying, I mean, you got to put $1 billion in order to be a part of this thing. Yeah. And I wonder, is that non-refundable? But it's not just over Gaza they began this push over rebuilding Gaza, and the idea was everybody puts this money in here, and we'll use that to rebuild Gaza. Well, I think it's going to take more than $26 billion, but anyway. But it since then has broadened. It's like everything that starts out a humanitarian issue. It always, down the road, becomes a control over humanity.
I'm going to read a verse in Revelation 17, but something else just flashed into my head, Doc, and I'm just going to throw it out there. But could the organizing of this be what brings Russia down a little quicker?
It might.
Because they see that they're going to take over the world?
I don't know. Russia is going to, the king of the north, is going to have an involvement in the Antichrist kingdom time in some wars. So is the king of the south. What I'm seeing is that in this board of peace, out of those 26 that are in there now, about a dozen of them are solid Islamic people. And they are in the Middle East, as well as other Islamic nations that are maybe not as hardcore. You got Azerbaijan and all of these others up in here. But you have these. And my question is, are we seeing in a back door, are we seeing the king of the south, the Islamic caliphate, being solidified through this?
Well, let me read a verse here, Revelation 17 and verse 12. And the 10 horns which thou sawest, now I don't have time to read the context for everybody, but the 10 horns which thou sawest are the 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Now, let me read just a little paragraph here. And I did a live stream on our program here that's on the internet, it's on YouTube, and folks can go watch that if they want. I titled it something about the 10 toes rising. Because remember our statue in Daniel chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
That's the world kingdoms from Babylon's day until Christ comes back on the white horse. Mm-hmm. The times of the Gentiles, as you call it. And what's important is that statue is a statue of a man. He has a head, arms, legs, thighs, but he has those feet and 10 toes. What's the purpose of the 10 toes? To balance you.
Yeah.
You find someone that's lost his toes, it's hard to
have balance. Yes.
And so the 10 toes is what helps that statue get up and rule the world.
Mm-hmm.
And those And so let me read just something here. The 10 kings are leaders who have not yet received a kingdom, but they will receive authority to reign with the beast. By the way, they're not elected. No Congress in the world elected them. This is interesting.
Yep.
I've never seen anything like it. And by the way, when it says for an hour, I don't think he's talking about 60 minutes on a clock.
No.
I think he's talking about a time, a specific event.
Right.
And that event, of course, being either the 7 years or the 3.5 years of the tribulation, one or the other. These kings are depicted as horns and in Daniel chapter 7,
mm-hmm.
but they're just depicted as the 10 toes that, helps the beast stand up, the statue, the world empire. But the horns are also the toes, but they're looked at differently in Daniel 7. They're horns. And you've been a farmer. You've had cattle.
Mm-hmm.
What's that horn for?
Well, it's the power.
Yeah, it is. It moves things around. Yeah, that bull comes along, got them horns on, and gets another one out of the way.
Gets it done. Yeah.
And even if you don't use them horns, it brings fear to anyone.
That's right.
It's like standing with a gun. You don't have to use the gun, but he's armed. I best stay back.
Yeah.
That's the principle of what the horns are there.
And that's right. Those horns are a part of that beast system.
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
And so, you may say, we have peace here. Yeah, but that peace came because some horns.
There's some power behind it.
There's power there.
Authority.
So these kings depicted as horns are destined to align with the beast to oppose the Lamb. And they're going to share in the power with him until the end of that short prophetic period. Key details regarding the 10 kings with no kingdoms. One of them, the symbolism here, they represent 10 leaders who hold power and authority, horns.
Mm-hmm.
But they lack the established independent kingdoms prior to that. Their purpose is to unite, to bring unity and purpose, and to give all their power and authority to the beast, to make war ultimately against the Lord Jesus Christ, Lamb of God.
Yeah.
Their reign is described as lasting for 1 hour, emphasizing the temporary nature of their rule. And despite their power, these kings will be overcome one day soon by the Lamb of God, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so that's just a little bit there.
That brings you back to that statue.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it's that rock cut without hands that destroys it all.
Yep. That's what it's called, the stone cut out of the mountain without hands.
Yep.
And you can see it streaking through the sky, and he's going to pulverize that statue.
Yeah, in the book of Matthew 24, he talks about like lightning out of the east, his second coming.
Yeah, and that's going to be, we see it in Revelation as the white horse, Revelation 19. Mm-hmm. And he says at that moment, the wife has made herself ready. We get on our horses and we ride down, and he ends the battle.
But we, what we're seeing, I think, is a precursor to what you just talked about. At one time, when Trump first said something about that, it was the number 10.
Right.
But it has now broadened because they have broadened their plan beyond just Gaza. Let me read you something from an article here from a gentleman by the name of David Bowen. And it says, in other words, it claims authority not merely to rebuild, but to govern, oversee, intervene, and stabilize in places where conflict exists or may arise. In other words, this is not just for Gaza. Their idea is a global initiative.
And we'll read in a minute here, I think, they say that Gaza's not even mentioned in this document.
Not much. But it started there,
yeah.
And I think maybe they may use it as a test case or whatever, because it's an ideal situation for people with power, authority, and the finances to step in and do whatever it is they think they want to do. But if they could establish that, then they'll be able to say, this is what we can do, and you're going to do what we...
Yeah.
You're not
so
going,
these world leaders...
We'll step in wherever we need to.
And some of them may not even be the head of a kingdom.
No.
Who's to say Elon Musk can't put up a billion?
Yeah.
He's got it. He's going to be the first trillionaire here pretty soon.
Yeah, but that's true. But I don't know. But I do know that what we're talking about here, this Board of Peace, is not the final Antichrist kingdom.
Right.
But it is definitely a rehearsal and another one of those steps of the world taking its direction that way.
And whoever takes Trump's place on that board.
Yes.
Not as president, but on
and
that board.
The best,
could be, that could be.
This is a picture of several of these people, not all of them. I think this was taken at the Davos place. But anyway, these people are all part of it.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Best understand, and I haven't read all of their document. I don't intend to read all of their document. Don't really care to. But I understand that he is the chairman, and whoever he picks to take his place, nobody else has any choice. He's the one.
Yeah, this is a
he's
this
the
is
dictator.
A dictator, right down.
He's
the line.
Dictator of this organization, and I have no idea who he's going to pick. I don't know where we are. I don't know if the rapture's taking place this year. I hope it takes place before we leave here this evening.
A lot of people think that his son-in-law is going to be, could fit the bill.
Could be,
for the
because he's Jewish. He's involved. He's involved in
the Abraham Accords.
In the Abraham Accords. and he's also involved in pushing for the peace situation between Russia and Ukraine. He's a part of those talks. He's been very highly involved with Israel and the Gaza situation. I don't know. Somebody is on the wings to step into these places. And we used to have a political person you pick for the anagram. I had one, and neither one of them have it. And neither one of them's going to make it. It's
probably
obvious.
Probably not. Yeah. Yeah, my guy's falling apart fast.
Yeah, your guy, mine's lost all of his clout. So yeah, that's why I say often, you can't let current events be your sole thing to interpret a piece of prophecy. Yeah. You just can't do it.
Now, Jan Markell, February 3rd,
oh,
had
excellent
a pretty
article.
Interesting article here.
Yes, excellent.
Kings Without Kingdom, she called it. And is the Board of Peace a part of Bible prophecy, she asked.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, the Bible describes a future period in which authority is concentrated not solely in traditional kingdoms, but in a limited number of powerful figures who operate beyond national boundaries.
Yeah.
And that is why I'm paying close attention to President Trump's Board of Peace.
Absolutely.
And I think all prophecy people
Well, out of all the people that get involved, maybe 10 of them is going to be selected out of that. I don't know.
Yeah. And that's what I said, too. I said, because the Bible talks about the 10 toes. That's 10,
yeah.
10 people or 10 regions headed by 10 people.
10 segments or whatever.
And this thing could easily... And it's already on paper. They already are talking about the 10 regions of the world.
Yeah. Oh, all of the...
These 50 people, or however many is going to be, could easily be narrowed into...
Oh, yes. The Bilderbergers, Rothschilds, Council of Rome, whatever. All of them have a 10 design segments of the world. Yes.
So she gives...
I think, could work parallel with that.
I think she gives like 14 things. We won't be able to read all of this, but we can skim a few of these. She gives some facts here. President Trump will serve as chairman. You said that already?
Yeah.
And wield considerably overall control over this.
That's right.
In fact, it will help resolve conflicts globally. He has the sole authority to invite members and to appoint his own successor.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's really something. Yeah. And by the way, I've said this oftentimes, a dictator is good if you have a David.
Yeah.
If you have a Saul, it's bad.
Yeah.
And I've also said this. And I've believed this for years. I think the only hope for America is a dictator to rise up and save us. And I think Trump is that man. You realize the executive order, they're all doing it. It's not just Trump.
Yeah, not just Trump.
Biden did it. Obama did it.
Oh, yeah. All of
but
them.
It's getting worse every year. And the reason executive orders have to be used is because Congress is split.
It's so polarized, you can't get anything accomplished.
And so they And I'm not sure it's constitutional, these executive orders. They all got to be challenged. But that's dictatorship.
Well, the Supreme Court just a couple of days ago ruled that his executive order stands. So I guess they stand behind it.
Yeah. So it stands until the next president comes, and with a stroke of a pen, they're gone.
And you can't get on his side.
So
with
people
him.
Are upset. Well, some of this ain't constitutional. We haven't been under the Constitution in decades.
No way.
And the Constitution, I mean, like some.
No,
things.
But we haven't even had probably in the last 40 or 50 years, we've not even had an actually honest and a fair election.
And the courts. I mean,
and the courts.
When a man tries to do something, these courts tie it up for months and months and months. So
it's obvious that in this, he's trying to set up something that is outside of government
power. And when he leaves
office,
that's
going to replace government
power. If he leaves office, that's a big if. He'll still be over.
He'll still be the
head of the world.
Yeah,
the guy's brilliant.
That's right.
The guy's brilliant. And again, whether you like Trump, his personality or not, God put him there. And I'm telling you, he's setting the stage for what the Antichrist is going to take over.
He's helping set the entire world's stage.
Global peace, number two, seems to be their goal. And number three, a lot of godless people seem to be in charge or in part of this. And but again, that's Trump. Trump doesn't think like we do. He's not
I doubt. Well, from looking at the list of those nations, I'm within reason, from a Bible standpoint, they're not saved individuals. They might claim to be Christian, but that's name only.
The price tag for a nation or a member to join, $1 billion. Yeah. That eliminates some third world countries.
And I'm wondering, did we vote as America for us to be a part of that?
No.
That's what I'm saying. This is outside of all that. And
this is going to quench the UN. And I'm all for that. I think the UN should be thrown out.
Yes, I agree. I agree. Yes.
And I think Trump, instead of throwing them out, he's just gone around them. They're going to become insignificant.
He can repossess their building.
Yeah. She talks about artificial intelligence being used in here.
Well, that's the thing about Gaza. They're going to make it a smart city, totally controlled with technology. Yeah.
Yeah. She makes the point that we already made, that most of Europe has not jumped in on this yet.
Well, before we go too far, I don't want to forget to insert it, but what this is doing, this is forcing Europe to unify themselves as one cohesive unit. And because their military leaders are all saying, we cannot depend on America. We must bring all our army together. And you're going to see out of this, the European Union bring together one unified army.
Now, if you're one of these liberal wackos in our government or governments around the world, you've got to be shaking in your boots right now. You've got to be thinking, we've got to stop this. Yep. He's going to take over the world. Kind of has already, but... This would be officially taking over the world. How do they stand for this? They got to try to get in on this board.
They got to try to get in on it.
And probably some of them are liberals.
But I don't know, when you read it a while ago, what does it mean, sudden destruction cometh upon them? Is that sudden destruction the second coming of the Christ? I don't know. Because this portion of Scripture you read follows, of course, chapter number 4, which is... the rapture at the end of that chapter. So in that sequence of time. So maybe that sudden destruction doesn't happen until the Battle of Armageddon.
Yep. Well, we got to keep an eye on this. There's so much more we could say.
And absolutely.
We don't even know where this is headed for sure yet. Doc, why don't you take 20 seconds or so and tell them what they better do about this?
Well, you need to be saved. You need to know certain that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven. You get your name recorded there in the indelible blood of Jesus by receiving what he did on Calvary's cross for you. Ask the Lord to come into your heart and life. Trust him. Believe what he did on Calvary's cross for the payment of your sin so that you can be born again. That's what you need.
Amen.
To do.
And regardless of what's going on around in the world, the only thing that really matters is that your name's written in that book.
That's right.
And you're going to heaven when the time comes. Well, until next time, keep your eyes on them skies.